B-Pod Studios.
All right, time to talk a little baseball. This man, of course, is the great writer for The Athletic, among other ventures. He is the winner of the J.G. Spink Award for Baseball Journalists, will be presented at the Hall of Fame. He is going to be honored at the Philly Sports Writers Dinner, I understand. He is the world-renowned baseball journalist, Jason Stark. Jason!
Mike, what's happening, man?
Well, I tell you what, I'm getting itchy. All right? I'm getting itchy. I need some answers, and I need them from you.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so here we go.
That's what I'm here for.
Yes, here we go. Now, the Harper Machado thing, the stories are now that it's going to drag on through February. I can't wait that long. It's making me nuts.
Yeah, right. I tweeted about this earlier today, and I don't know how to describe it. There's a lot going on, but none of it is leading toward these guys signing soon. It's like the exact opposite of NBA free agency, which starts and finishes in like 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The Phillies are in no hurry because they think they have leverage by chasing both guys.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Boras, who represents Bryce Harper, he's in no hurry because he's waiting for someone to cave and give him Giancarlo Stanton money. Manny Machado's agent is Dan Lozano. He's in no hurry because he's competing against Boras. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, in Manny's case, he has actual teams to play off of each other. And I don't think any of them are offering close to what he thought Machado would and should get. So you got all these subplots wrapped inside of subplots, and none of them are driving the market. So like that's the big picture. What people keep asking me is, why are the Phillies moving so slowly? They're not broadcasting their strategy here, but I think they are convinced that there are not multiple teams out there who are going to outspend them, at least on both players. And, because of that, they don't see why they should negotiate against
themselves.
Either themselves, yeah, or some mythical creation by Scott Boras,
uh-huh,
that Bryce Harper has to wind up with more than Giancarlo Stanton.
Interesting.
$325 million, by the way.
Yeah. So the market is stagnated a little bit. And you're telling me that it's actually a little more viable for Machado at this point because the White Sox have an offer on the board?
Yeah. Here's the way I would describe this. Like, if I were a betting man and trying to figure out which of these guys winds up in Philadelphia, I would bet on Bryce Harper being here. And here's my logic. With Manny, there's more traffic. There's the White Sox. They're all in, right? They're trying to sign everybody that Manny knows except his hairstylist. they're the Yankees, who are still kind of in. They're his first choice. They basically said, hey, if you want to be here, come back to us. That hasn't happened yet. Maybe it could. There does seem to be a legit mystery team. I really think this team exists, plus the Phillies. But on Bryce Harper, the sense I get, just from talking with teams that have been part of this on any level, their suspicion now is it's really just the Phillies. You can't say the Nationals are totally out because Ted Lerner, their owner, loves Bryce. And he's done more deals with Boras than any owner on the planet. So you can't completely rule out the idea that Scott could somehow convince him to do this deal too. But the thing to remember is they're already way over the tax threshold with all the stuff they've done, way over. And if they sign Bryce, I was told that would push them into the 90% luxury tax bracket where no one has ever been. And not just for this year, for years and years and years. That just hasn't been how they've operated. So it's really all on the owner. So, where else does Bryce go?
So it's just a matter of waiting out Scott Boras. But see, here's the thing. I don't like to play games like this because what I know is this. If they don't get either one, it's a disaster. Now, are the Phillies comfortable with the fact that they're going to get one? Are you comfortable with the fact that they're going to get one?
I would say they are very optimistic that they're going to wind up with one and don't seem interested in both, but are very interested in playing one off the other. Let's explore your scenario.
Uh-huh.
Let's say it's just them and Bryce Harper and Scott Boras, and there's really nobody else. Manny's already signed with the White Sox or somebody, and that's the game they're playing. See, their problem is, you know, Scott has this way of convincing teams, convincing owners, that they should negotiate against this figure that he basically makes up, that Bryce has to be the highest paid player in the history of the universe. And I don't think the Phillies, at least the non-John Middleton portion of the front office, are interested in going along with that. You know,
that's well and good, Jason. That doesn't do me any good. You know, I'm like, I couldn't care less that they think they're getting played by this guy.
Let me ask you about the other thing you said, which is if they don't get either guy, it's a disaster.
It is. I know
there's that thinking out there, but if they don't get either guy, the only reason would be because neither of them wants any parts of us. And I don't want to be in Philadelphia. I have always been of the belief that you should never just be giving money to whoever will take it. And you shouldn't be interested in giving money to people who don't want your money. If they reject Philadelphia, why is that on the Phillies?
Well, it's on the Phillies because they can pay to make it happen. And forget about the other stuff. You know, like let me ask you this. If they went to Boras right now and said, okay, 10 years, $350 million, would he turn that down? Now, I don't understand the game, the little nickel and dime game that they're playing. If they really want the player, then that's probably the rate that they're going to get him at, then why play the game?
I agree with the $35 million a year part.
Uh-huh.
I think he will get that. That's the record for largest average annual value of a player is held by Zach Greinke. He only got a 6-year contract, but the average was about 34.2. So I think we can accept the fact it's going to be 35 a year. But you're fine with just giving him, just for the fun of it, an extra 3 years and an extra $100+ million.
Jason,
you might be able to get it done for $225 over $7.
All right, but see,
I don't that extra $100 million.
I can't play this game where I could lose them. I just can't do it. These fans deserve more than that. They can't. You can't take them into a season and tease them with the prospects of adding two superstars and then have it fall through. That's his fate worse than death.
Even if they're the high bidder, they're the high bidder. And they don't get either guy, despite dealing with two agents who are all about taking the biggest pile of money. I suppose they argue, hey, we might look up in 2 years, and instead of Harper and Machado, we have Trout and Arenado. Well, would you take that instead?
Yeah, but I can't. That's so speculative. I don't know that I'm going to get those guys. You're on the precipice of getting this guy. I don't know what's going to happen down the road.
That's the chance they're taking. But there really doesn't seem to be anyone else that's close to what they can offer. If he wants to be a Dodger just because, and he'll go there for like 4 years times, I don't know, $150, $160 million, and then he'll go out on the market again at 29, 30, all right. That's what he dreams of. It's not. Yeah. It's because he doesn't want to be here. That's a really troubling thing to me. If the guy has the biggest offer, and his agent's Scott Boras, and he still says no, that would be the reason they don't get that player. You know what I mean? I understand what you're saying.
I get it.
It's like, on the other level.
It's like the good, the bad, the ugly. Right, you guys, there are two types of people in this world, my friend. Those with a loaded gun and those who walk. Boras has the loaded gun. I'm not playing na-na-na-na-na with the guy anymore. He's got the goods.
Right, you're supposed to be playing the stupid money game.
Well, yes, and that's the other thing. He's already on the record with stupid money. It's making me crazy.
Your money would be stupider than my money.
What are the flaws of this system? I know you think there are flaws in this free agent system that holds baseball back a little bit. Explain what you're talking about when it comes to that.
Well, yeah. We've reached the stage now where so many analytic-type minds have taken over the sport. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That I think we've taken all the emotion and all of the entertainment value out of the offseason. You know, they don't, your modern front office doesn't want to pay players in their 30s, which shuts out a lot of stars and a lot of acquisitions. And you're just looking at an offseason where it feels like almost nothing has happened. And I think back on Jim Thome signing with the Phillies, you know, walking through the construction workers with their hard hats and putting a hard hat on his head, and just a lightning bolt that rippled through our city when that happened. We see almost none of that anywhere now. And I think it's leading in a couple of years to labor Armageddon, because you're going to have to completely overhaul this system. It doesn't work anymore. Players, when they reach free agency, they're not winning the lottery. And so somebody's got to figure out how to revamp a lot of stuff that's worked for a long time. I don't know what that's going to take, but I'm thinking about visiting that planet beyond Pluto that we just flew that satellite by that winter.
Yes.
Yeah. Covering that strike is not going to be good.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, you got a couple of big speeches to write. You started started on those yet? Or
I have not started writing any speeches. Right. Yeah. I mean, I've got induction weekend in Cooperstown.
Yep.
That's Saturday afternoon. That'll be me on that stage. Uh-huh. And, you know, the last year, the broadcaster who was honored with the writer who won, Sheldon Knocker, was Bob Costas.
Uh-huh.
And he could Sheldon could play a few tunes, and then Bob came out there and did the hits. I'm being honored with a broadcast pioneer who's no longer with us. And
I've got
to pretty much carry the speech writing portion of the festivities.
Better knock it dead, Jace.
Yeah, right? You want to write one for me?
Pressure's on. No, I'm out. I can't do it better than you. All right, man. Listen, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Always good to talk to you, Mike. Thanks.
All right, there he is, the great Jason Stark. And
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.